I'm Brian Moline. Statistics are playing a larger role in election coverage than ever before. Websites like 538 and Upshot from the New York Times analyze opinion polls to predict the winner in the race for the White House, as well as U.S. Senate races. Those websites have a strong track record of predicting winners, but there's a site on the University of Illinois Urbana campus that's done even better. I spoke with U of I computer science professor Sheldon Jacobson, who's the director of the election analytics program on campus, about how their program differs from some others and how it got started in 2008.
Well, some colleagues of mine who I was doing some research with down at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville started to work on some algorithms. I joined them, and eventually we came up with some what we considered very good methodologies to do forecasting for the presidential election. The next natural step was, how do we make it available to the general population, at which point we launched our website in 2008 for the presidential election. I was able to recruit a number of very talented computer science students at the University of Illinois. We have a phenomenal program, as everybody knows, and these students did not disappoint. I've continued to recruit them. We eventually added the Senate in 2012. And now, in 2016, we're doing both the Senate as well as the President. So it's been new students coming in, refinements to our algorithms. It's been kind of an exciting venture for us over the last 8 years, and we continue to enhance our work to try and make it more accurate and more precise.
Sure, and what are some ways you've been able to do that? You know, how is it different here in 2016 than it was back in 2008?
Part of it is just a pure computation. When we had to do an update for our forecast, which we did each day, it took around 1 hour of computing. It takes around 8 seconds now. Mm. So just purely in that, we both have faster computers, but we also have enhanced algorithm implementations using more sophisticated software. So all of this has made it a much more efficient process. Our graphics also are much more exciting for people to look at. We have different trend lines. We've added things like customization so that you can exclude certain pollsters. We also have third-party candidates this year, which adds another wrinkle to the forecast. So we do include them, or you can opt not to use them. You can take undecided voters and put slight biases to the left or the right. These are features that we did not have when we started in 2008. So it gives the user the flexibility to really get a better understanding of what all the polling data means.
Sure. And as you look at what you've put together here at the University of Illinois, maybe compared to some of the other prominent forecasting sites that are out there, 538 is one, the New York Times Upshot is another. How does your system maybe differ a little bit from theirs?
Well, 538 is absolutely outstanding, as is Upshot, and I follow them both. What's different about election analytics is that we're really a STEM, a science, technology, engineering, and math learning center, because the computer science students really are taking what they've learned in the classroom and put it into a real environment where literally tens of thousands of people are going to use it. We're also very low budget. 538.com, of course, is now owned by ESPN. New York Times is a very well-known entity, of course. You know, they have dozens of people and hundreds of thousands of dollars at them. We're a low-budget operation. We've spent so far $25, which is pretty amazing. We also are open source, so that if you go to 538.com, a lot of their algorithms are proprietary. Mm-hmm. Ours have been published in peer-reviewed academic journals so that anybody can use them, which is actually quite important. We also do something a little different than them, that they try and forecast what's going to happen on election day. We've found that when we try and do that, we add so much noise and uncertainty that it obfuscates what really is happening in the election today. So we just say what's happening today. Of course, what they do and what we do eventually converge. The other important thing is that, you know, they have great graphics, you know, excellent commentary. We just give you the facts and the numbers, nothing more complicated than that. One of the things that people often ask is, if you're replicating what 538 is doing, you know, why do we need you? And the answer that we give is that we did a statistical analysis comparing ourselves to 538 since 2008, when we've gone head to head, both in the Senate as well as in the President, and we're using standard assessment tools, and we're 12% to 16% more accurate than they are. And that's based purely on what are considered to be accepted measures for assessing predictions. So as a result of that, we feel that we can offer someone a very straightforward, no-nonsense, nonpartisan view of what all the polling data means without a lot of discussion. You can go to it in 30 seconds. You can see exactly what it is. We update daily. But really, the value is the students. I mean, they're the real winners in all this. They're experiencing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to showcase their talent. And if you look at the design of the website, the different features that we have, you know, they get all the credit for that because they've taken our algorithms and made this come to life. And that's absolutely outstanding for their experience.
Well, as we're talking here on Tuesday morning, I'm looking at your site here. And I think if I'm reading this correctly, you're saying if the election were held today, it would be a 100% chance of a Hillary Clinton victory today.
Exactly. Exactly. If you look more closely, there's a certain number of we consider safe states for Donald Trump. If you add in what we call the primary battleground states like Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Nevada, Iowa, and the second district in Maine, if he was able to win all of these, which he's not ahead in all of them, he would have 266 Electoral College votes. You need 270 to win the White House. As a result of that, for him to overcome such large headwinds makes our probability of him winning so minuscule at this point. It's actually not 0%. It's a small fraction, but we round it to a few decimal places, obviously.
The other thing that you're measuring, of course, is who will end up controlling the U.S. Senate at the end of this election cycle. And that appears to be really still pretty up in the air as of right now.
That is the true battle right now nationally. It is a very, very, very close call. Right now, we have a 54% chance for the Republicans retaining control, getting 51 or more Senate seats. But there's a 34% chance of there being a tie, 50-50. The key states to look at right now are North Carolina, as well as Pennsylvania and New Hampshire, and then to some degree, Indiana, as well as Nevada. Those are the five key states that we're looking at. You can also add in Missouri, although it looks like Missouri is going to go for the Republicans. The key is that of those five states, for the Republicans to win, they have to take three of them, which they are leading in three of them right now. For the Democrats to win, because they're a little bit behind, they have to win three, but that will give them 50-50. Mm-hmm. But a 50-50 is good enough if they have the White House. So we're watching that, and those numbers actually vacillate much more wildly compared to the presidential numbers because it is such a close race.
The U of I's election analytics show the state of Illinois comfortably in the Democrats' column in the races for both president and U.S. Senate. Jacobson says it would take some sort of game-changing event in the presidential campaign for Donald Trump to have a reasonable chance at winning nationally, especially since early voting has already begun in many states. You can find a link to U of I election analytics at our website a bit later this morning. That's willnews.org.